You're listening to Cross the Border, and that's the name of this program. And I'm Nicholas. We are going through the Bible here, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, trying to get everything in context so that we can rightly divide the Word of God. I'd like to invite you to visit my website. That's crosstheborder.org, crosstheborder.org. And you can find a link there to email me. You'll find Bible studies there, other documents. You'll find the last several days programs. If you've just stumbled upon us, you can catch up on this study and many other studies there. Crosstheborder.org. Be sure to watch my short video there on the virgin birth. And it's, well, I guess the primary prophetic prophecy study of the scripture would be the virgin birth, the very first in a whole line of prophetic utterances given by the prophets there. Anyway, the prophecy of the virgin birth, that fulfillment, and of course the one who fulfilled it, the Messiah, will be coming again. And you can check out some of my studies and prophecy there too at crosstheborder.org. We're in Psalm 73. We got to verse 23. We'll continue there and finish this up. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in Yahuwah, in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Yeah, so, for lo, that they are far from him shall perish. Not a place you want to be. If you find yourself today and you're far from God, you're so far from him, that, and you know, that's the ordinary place that you should be in the world. If you grew up in the society where they, and you were schooled with pagans and the pagan idolatrous public fool system, and you watched all of the movies on the television and all the sitcoms and all the pagans there, and then you listen to the idolatrous pop music of the culture. Yes, the idolatry of romance is what they worship, goddess worship, men with men, men with other men's wives and things like that. It doesn't matter, because it's just all about feelings and the feelings that are associated with love, but really has nothing to do with love. They've elevated the feelings. They've elevated the drugs that your body produces, and you know, the endorphins that come with the feelings. And that is their highest gods. They're all drug addicts as far as I'm concerned, whether they used substances or whether they get their own endorphins going. Yes, they're all hooked on the drug of idolatry and wickedness. And that's the normal thing. That's the normal thing in society. It is normal to be far from God, but lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. So there's your warning. You know, draw close to him, and he'll draw close to you. The scripture promises that. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open to you. It's time to start seeking. It's time to start knocking. It's time to start drawing close to God, and he will draw close to you. And for all of those out there, and I still get them daily, well, prove to me that God exists. Well, draw close to him, and he'll draw close to you. You search for him as for hidden treasure, and lo and behold, if your heart is truly after him, you will find him. But if your treasure is wickedness and idolatry and the sins of the flesh and the endorphins of your own brain and the drugs of idolatry, then you'll never find him, because you're not seeking him as hidden treasure. You know, you watch some of these movies where they have these treasure hunters, and of course in the movies they can do things you could never do in a couple hours. Of course, they do things that would take a great portion of your lifetime in a couple hours. But that's what it means to seek a hidden treasure. If you're really seeking it, it's a lifetime thing. It's something you just don't do it for a couple days and go, well, gee, you know, golly, I didn't find that. It's not an Easter egg hunt, you know, where Easter ends and you don't have to look for the eggs anymore because they're whatever, because everybody else already found them. No, you search for him as for hidden treasure. And you look at these professional treasure hunters, it becomes a lifetime vocation for them. That's what it means to search for him as for hidden treasure. Seek him and you will find him. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Yes, prove to me that God exists. Indeed, you know, I say, I can't prove it. Let him prove it to you. The problem is that you don't want him to be proved. Otherwise, you would have already found him. For lo, that they that are far from thee shall perish. Yes. How are they brought to destruction? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awaketh. That's right. That's how you're going to perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Yes, you've gone a-whoring after false gods. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. And the name there, of course, Yahuwah, we, that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 74, verse 1, Maskil, and that's an instructive, didactic poem of Asaph. And who is the Asaph? The name of three is the name of three Israelites and of the family of the first, Asaph, or Asaph. Okay, Maskil of Asaph, a didactic poem, a song of Asaph, or of the family of Asaph. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. And perhaps this was during a time of, could have been during the judges or probably after, during the times of the kings, when they were struggling with all of the ungodly kings that Israel had. We haven't got into kings. Perhaps that might be a place we'll go next, so we can have a better understanding of some of these things and the times that these psalms were written. But we get it. We get the idea, basically. We've read enough. They have said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the minds of the earth, in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou didst break the heads of the dragons in the waters. And so we have a lamentation of someone going through an evil time in national Israel, and perhaps a lamentation that we will understand in the land of America, and perhaps many do understand, being manhandled by these evil doers. But you see, as the Heavenly Father was judging the land during the times of the judges, during the times of wicked kings, where the whole nation turned backward against the Creator, there was always a remnant, because who would write something like this but those of the remnant? So we could identify this in a land of persecution, or for those that are going through persecution and great trials at the hand of the wicked, which by which the land or the nation is being judged. And that means that when the nation or the land is being judged, that there are some innocent people that get caught in their anvil. Psalm 74, verse 14, Thou did breakst the head of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Now, here's an interesting thing here, talking about, Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou did break the heads of the dragons in the waters. The dragons in the waters, that's the great sea monsters, isn't it? Thou did break the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. So you kind of wonder that when they said, what is it? And of course, I'm speaking of manna for those of you that know the scripture. And they said, what is it? And that's why it had the name manna, because manna meant, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was, obviously. But here is, was it the Leviathan? Interesting question here, because it seems to be, thou gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Perhaps we have the answer to the question that became the name of it. Manna, what is it? So I'll read that again for you. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou didst break the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou didst break the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain of the flood and the flood. Thou dried up the mighty rivers. The day of thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. And here he makes a distinction. Thou didst prepare the light and the sun. And I am one who, I would be a literalist when it comes to the interpretation of the scripture. And I believe that on the first day when God said, let there be light, I believe there was light. And I believe there was light without a sun. That's right. I believe that. You know, there was a light, and it seemed to be coming from a certain direction. And perhaps the light that God created moved around the earth, but there was no sun, because I don't believe that he created that to the fourth day. So I would be a literalist on that account. And anyone who would say otherwise, well, they'd have to show me a scripture, but until they can show me in the scripture, I believe that they're speaking presumptuously. If they say that there was a moon and a sun and stars on the first day, I believe that there was only one planet in the whole universe. I believe there was because it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe it just says heaven and the earth. Maybe I should already know that. Yeah, said that. If we go back there to Genesis 1:1, not hard to look up. And that's what it says, heaven singular. So in the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and the earth. And I would interpret the word heaven there to be the time, space, continuum, to use a more modern vernacular, that void of anything, void of stars, planets, novas, black holes. It was just the heaven. It was the great vastness of the universe as we comprehend it today. Because I could say as we know it, well, we don't really know it. We know very little of it. But as we comprehend it, and I would call, and like I said, I call it the time-space continuum. And it says, in the beginning, God created, and I'll say, the time-space continuum, singular heaven, and the earth. And I believe that that's all there was at this point. Because, and it says the earth was without form and void. So the earth was formless, and there was nothing on it. It was empty. The word void there would be better translated empty. It was without form. It was a perfectly smooth sphere. Perfectly smooth. No form on it at all. And it was empty. There was nothing on it. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was dark. You couldn't see it if you were there, because your eyes need light to see. That's how dark it was, because there was no sun. There was no stars. It was dark. Darkness was on the face of the deep, meaning that the sphere was covered with water. We get the word deep there. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Ah, you know, and when the Spirit of God moved on the waters, I'll bet you there was a little form there, in the form of a ripple at least. A vibration began to bring life to that formless, void, empty, perfectly round sphere that was covered with water, not even a ripple on it. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't say, let there be a sun to give light. He said, just said, let there be light, because we don't get the sun until the fourth day. And I believe that. Like I said, I'm a literalist. Let's go back to our where we are in Psalms. I just had to take a little Okay, let me go back. There we are. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Because the sun is not light, the sun gives us light. God created the light, and he created the sun. And he said, for times, for seasons, for days, and for years. And it works really good, doesn't it? It's still working, you know, here almost 6,000 years later. Yes, I believe that. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached Yahuwah, that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtledove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget, and of course, of the multitude, and of the multitude referring to those that are foolish and blast people, the foolish people. If you go back one verse, unto the multitude. And of course, the authorized updaters added of the wicked, forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. And you know, it continues today in America. We see the same reproach. We see the tumult of those that rise up against him, how they increase continually, and they become more and more clever. Their snare becomes more attractive daily, and they take many more down into it. Psalm 75, to the chief musician, Al Taskith, And what does that mean, of course? Thou must not destroy. A psalm, or song of Asaph, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, and unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, and setteth up another. For in the hand of Yahuwah there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. And we'll get on to Psalm 76 and verse 1 after we take a short break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.